Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast this Tuesday. This podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries. Our duty is to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. In life, any kind of promotion or elevation can lead a novice to pride. A novice is unable to see the mysterious principles that made his predecessor survive, overcome, and do well. In today's message, Bishop Dag is teaching us what it means to be a novice in ministry and how we can overcome the pride that destroys novices and makes them lose all that has been won and achieved before them. Find out if you are a novice, and if you are, then heed to the warnings contained in today's message. Gain wisdom from the Word of God and avoid these potholes through this message. Take a listen.
Once upon a time, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one left his home into the world. There he wasted his life doing many wicked things, but his father still waited patiently.
And he came to his senses and came running to his father. Forgive me, forgive me.
Forsake the world, there is a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There's a home in heaven, or burn a lake of fire. Make a better choice with Jesus today.
There's a place in the sky, and it's heaven up above. Jesus died on the cross to save the sinner. Just believe and receive, you will have abundant life, and your name will be in the book of life.
For there's no
for you and me,
for you and for me and me. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have in Christ. Guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight, I'm sharing with you on a topic, not a novice. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Amen. Husband of one wife. This is about ministry, so in case you tune, it's about ministry. Husband of one wife, and not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy, patient, not a brawler, not covetous. A lot of practical qualifications. One that rules his own house, having his children in subjection. All right? And if a man don't know how to rule his own house, right, how shall he take care of the house, church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Now, the devil was condemned because of his pride. Okay. So that's what it means by condemnation of the devil. He lifted up with pride. He falls into the same condemnation that happened to the devil. Do you understand? Yes. So the devil, if you look at the verse, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil, or the same condemnation that the devil was condemned with. All right. So we see that pride was the first sin, the first mistake. And it was the devil we know of today who fell into that condemnation. Pride condemns you. Pride condemns you. Pride has different manifestations. One of them is overconfidence. It's one of the manifestations of pride. It's good to be confident, but that you must temper your confidence with carefulness, because the carefulness will make you cautious and make you, even though you are confident in Christ, careful, always knowing that it's possible that you are also making a mistake, and that whatever you are doing, there are other ways to do it which are also working apart from the way you are doing it and apart from what you are saying, and that there are 200 opinions apart from yours about one thing. That is why we have PhDs and other things, because you have to know the other opinions that can exist and that can also be true. So being a novice is a dangerous thing, because it's warning that the novice can fall into the condemnation of the devil. How the devil was condemned can also happen to you. And it happens because of exactly what he said, lifted up with pride. So any kind of lifting can lead you to pride. Now, novices are easy to lift because they are light. All right? Are you there? Now, what is a novice? Nouveau. Have you heard the word nouveau?
Yes.
Nouveau riche. Nouveau speaks of new. So the word novice is from the word novus, new. A new person. Okay? Yes. So, number one is a person who is new to the circumstances and to the work which he or she is placed in. All right? So, you may be around for some time, but you are new to a job and also new to a circumstance. Any new circumstance can give you danger. Danger of novus. Newness. Okay? Don't forget. You're already blessed, aren't you? We can go home. It's an early goal already. New to the circumstances. Anytime there are new circumstances being created, watch out carefully. That's an opportunity to fall where to the condemnation of the devil, or the condemnation that happened to the devil. And he was condemned because of the pride that lifted him up. Number two, it means a beginner. Yes. A beginner. Yes. A beginner. So, anything you are in the beginning of, you should know that there are a whole lot of dangers because it's the beginning. Novice, novus. Now, number three, a novice is someone who has been doing a job only for a short time. You've been doing it for a short time. So if I appoint you to be a pastor and you've been doing it for a short time, you are a novice. If I've been doing it for 10 years, you've been doing it for 1 year, you are a novice relative to me, because I've been at it for some years. So the length of time which you've been doing something is important. All right? Number five. An inexperienced person. Novicius in Latin. Novicius. Inexperienced. Inexperienced. Nouveau in French. Novicius in Latin. Number six, a newly imported slave. A newly imported slave. So now you imagine this. You've never been a slave before, you were free. Now suddenly you've been brought. Now you are going to work like this, you are going to do this, you are going to... I mean, it's like it would take time for you to orient yourself to the fact that now I am a slave. If I do this, I'll be whipped. If I do this, I'll die. If I do this, this is going to happen. I can't sleep when I want. I can't do this. I can't go out. I'm a slave, a newly imported slave. Number seven, a person recently entered into a condition. A person who has recently entered into a condition. Yes. So whenever you enter into a condition and it's not so long, remember you are novicius in Latin, novus in I don't know which language, nouveau in French. I don't know if novus is also French. Huh? Is it novus? Is there a word like that? Nouveau, okay. So novus is one of the languages. Maybe it's Italian. Now, the next one is recently discovered. Recently what?
Discovered.
So if you are singers and you are recently discovered, you are novices. Yes. Recently discovered. And the next one is fashionable. Like a recent discovery, so it's fashionable because everybody likes a new thing. Everybody likes new things. So it's in fashion because it's new. Now, novices of the Bible. I want to share with you a number of novices. And then I want to share with you a number of people who are not novices. And you see that they behave differently. Amen. Novices of the Bible. Let's start with. Who shall we start with? Let's start with Rehoboam. It's an easy one. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. So Rehoboam was a novice. Newly, what are the definitions I gave you? Newly, new discovery, new to the circumstance, recently entered into a condition. Write the thing well. Recently entered into a condition, yes. Recently discovered. Inexperienced. New to the job. And such a person can fall into the condemnation. So everybody who is new must be very conscious of your newness. Do you see? And very conscious of its dangers. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel was come to Shechem to make him king. All right? And it came to pass when Jeroboam, there's Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Don't forget these two guys. R is right, and J is not right. So R for right. Will you remember that?
Yeah.
Rehoboam was the right one. He was the right person to be king. So his name starts with R. So you can always remember that Rehoboam was the right person to be king. But Jeroboam was not. Now Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." And he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people departed. And Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, "How do you advise that I may answer these people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant to these people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, "What counsel give ye that we may answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter'?" And the young men that were grown up with him said, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto these people, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us.' Thus shall you say unto them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.'" Okay? Now, loins is what it means, the waist. So, this is the finger. He says that his finger is going to be bigger than the waist. It's newly an entrance. And this is what he's saying. Now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. And my father has chastised you with whips, but I will beat you with corn, scorpions. This was advice from the young people, what he should say. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whip, but I will chastise you with scorpions. In other words, I will tie scorpions at the end of each whip. And then when I whip you, the scorpion will bite you, and the whip will whip you. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord that he might perform his saying, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not, the people answered the king, saying, what portion do we have in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. And Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of taxes, and all Israel stoned him with stones so that he died. He went to ask for money. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot and flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Amen. Now, a novice, that is what the Bible says, that be careful, because you don't know how your father controlled all these people. Because it looks easy. So novices, they look at, you know, almost anything that someone does looks easy. Till you try to do one. And when you try to do it, you'll find out that Asomoah, you didn't know what it was. That is why most orangus end up in oblivion. Because when they see their father doing something, they have a mind that I can do it. And not be anything, we go fit do. And so, like golf, if you try to hit the ball, just a ball there, if you like, try it and see, you'll be shocked at what will happen when you try to hit a ball and follow it. So, how did David, King Solomon, reign over far lands and tell them, bring money? And they brought money. How did he do it? How did he? It looks easy, because they all obeyed Solomon. He had peace throughout his reign. He collected taxes from, because he needed the money to build his temples and other things he was doing, all his projects. How was he able to do all that? It doesn't mean you will be able to do that. Because there are mysteries and mysterious things that are working behind everything that seems to be easy. And novices, unfortunately, because of the pride of a novice, cannot see. Because you see, you can't see something you criticize. Unless admiration opens your eyes. Admiration opens your eyes. Criticism blinds you. If you believe in the NPP government and you look at them with admiration, your eyes will open. You will see many good things that they've done. You will say, oh, they've done this, they've done that, they did this, they've done this, they've done so many things you will be listing. Oh, they've done this here, here, there. They have built this, they've built that, they've established this, they've created that. Beautiful. If you hate them and you criticize them, when you look, you say, ah, nothing has been done. What has been done? You say, no work done. It depends on the eye with which you look at the people. If you look with eyes of admiration, you see many good things. If you look with eyes of criticism, you will see many bad things. And you'll be blinded even to the gifts and the abilities. Even if they have done good things and they use certain gifts and certain strategies, you won't see it because you are blinded. All you see is nothing. Oh, nothing is working. So that's why the elections hardly campaigning hardly changes anybody's mind. Because people are already oriented. This one, this group dislikes this, this group dislikes this. They are already oriented. And criticism also, unfortunately, for those who criticize, doesn't change people's opinion much. Quarreling doesn't change. You can quarrel with somebody about an issue. Nobody changes his mind. In fact, you become more entrenched. Is it not true?
It's true.
Yes. So, the danger for you as a novice is to not see the talent and the wisdom that Solomon had. Have you ever heard of the Proverbs of Rehoboam?
No.
Not even one proverb has been written by Rehoboam. Solomon had many proverbs. He seemed to know many things. In the Songs of Solomon, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, all the wisdom books written by this one man. You come and you inherit it within 5 years of Rehoboam being the king. He had lost everything, because five after this initial being made the king, within 3 days he lost the territories, and within 5 years he was attacked and they took all the gold from the temple and he replaced it with brass. So it took 5 years for him to lose everything that his father had built. Yes. So that's the condemnation of the devil, is a condemnation of blind people. Yes. Novices can be very blind. So when you are in the midst, you may be in this church, you don't know what it is. When I am no more here, many people's eyes will open to see many things that I did that you didn't know I was doing. And many things that undergirded all that we were doing. But you didn't know that it was undergirding everything. And that is how. And you could have seen even more. But being a novice, you can be right. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Jeroboam was not the son of Solomon. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. The sons of Solomon. Rehoboam was one. He didn't see, he couldn't recognize anything. All the things he was doing, he didn't see. So a novice is in a very dangerous place because his eyes are closed. Now, pride lifts you up so high, you can't see. All you can see either is wickedness or you don't see at all. It's like, I don't need to see. I know already what there is. So that's why Paul said, don't be a novice. You need experience and you need time. And you need to especially acknowledge that you don't know. Because you may also be called bishop. But when you are called bishop, you must also know that, you see, we have institutions giving out titles. The institution gives you a title, but that doesn't mean you are the same. You see, but again, you should know it. You understand? Because when I became a doctor, we were told, I will honor my teachers. What did he say, doctor? What will I do to my teachers? The first line in that oath. I will remember my teachers or honor them.
I will honor my teachers. I'll respect my teachers.
Yeah. Because, and whenever I remember that line, I always remember one of my teachers. In particular, a gynecologist. And he was an Indian. When there's a certain kind of crisis in the hospital, because you see, we have what to do. If a woman has a child, then she continues to bleed after she's given birth. She's supposed to stop bleeding. Supposing she doesn't stop bleeding, then we know, okay, it's called something. We have a name for it. So after that, there are some things we do. All the ordinary doctors will do. But there comes a time where, even after doing everything, the bleeding is still going on and she's dying in front of you. You know, and then there's some other things that can happen and so on and so forth and more complications. You know, and this man is somebody that they will call him. I mean, there will be senior people there. They will call him because he's the only one who could do certain things. Yeah. So now I am called doctor. You know, and this man is also called doctor. I should know that there's a difference between us. It's called doctor and it's also called doctor, but it's not the same. Yeah. So, a novice is not, his eyes have not opened to realize, and he doesn't see, he doesn't know all the things that are going, because it's not written anywhere how Solomon was controlling all these people. They were bringing their money from everywhere. They were bringing their money from everywhere. A novice who thinks that when I stand, if I stand and I take an offering, I will get the same amount of money as this person when he's taking the offering. Yes. He thinks so. Yes. Today, I raise offerings to build churches. There are people who donate a whole church building. And they all have their church buildings. They know, everybody who has built a church knows the church and the physical building is there. If you take an offering to build a church, they may not give it. You'll be surprised. They will say, oh, really? We are coming you later. We'll call you later. How was he collected? When he went, they stoned him. He ran for his life. So what I want to say is that I believe that there are invisible things that every leader does. And when you are newly come in, let your heart be a heart of learning instead of a heart of dullness. I know everything. He's going to come. He's going to say this. He's going to say this or what is that. It's not true. It's not true. It's not like that. There's more to it. Amen. Number two. Second novice. Eli's sons. The sons of Eli. They were novices. Of course, they were new. 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2. Are you there? Yes. Now, the sons of, let's read from verse 22. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons or his novices did unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 23. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all these people. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not, because the Lord would slay them. All right? And then came a man of God in verse 27 and said, did I plainly appear to you the house of your father? Did I choose him of all the tribes to be my priest, to offer incense and give it? And why do you kick at my sacrifice? Okay? Wherefore the Lord said, my house and your house would walk with me before me, but I've changed my mind.
That's right.
Now the Lord said, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind about what I said. I said, you always walk before me, but I've changed my mind. From now, they that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me, I shall be lightly esteemed. What do you call it? Terms. You were saying something in terms. Terms of. You had a short form of it. misrepresentation and implied. There are implied terms for every blessing and every promise. If you change, if you break your side, that's it. Now, do you think that Eli didn't see beautiful girls when he was a priest? Do you think he didn't have beautiful girls? Those beautiful girls, he is now an old man. He knew their mothers probably. He had been a priest with those same beautiful people. But he has not slept with them. So you have come newly. You don't know how he was able to stay there all these years to become an old man and not do it. Because he cannot talk about those things if he was doing them. Yes. And now he's arrived. And he's talking about it. So you come along. You don't know. And he was misusing the offerings. Do you think they were not bringing offerings before? They were bringing offerings. They were women. So you, when you are a novice, you think you know everything. But you will not know how he was also able to stay all these years. Instead of finding out how or learning how to. Do you understand? Yes. As a novice. People don't take it seriously. Yes. Because you see that. You will see that you can be a young minister and you will be wiped out before you even start. Because these guys were wiped out. They didn't reach anywhere at all. They didn't get anywhere at all in the ministry. If you think Eli didn't see, like everybody was ugly in the days of Eli and then they metamorphosized into beauty queens in the days of the sun. Huh? No. What you see, what I'm trying to say is that all these things, what Rehoboam did and what these ones did, you realize that they are not teachings. Sometimes the greatest lessons are not either written or said. Thank you. Yes. They are not written, they are not spoken. They may not even be commented on. Because that's what I learned from Korea. That the greatest lessons on church growth. When we go to Korea, Yonggi Cho come, he sometimes doesn't even read the Bible. He holds a Bible. He doesn't often maybe read it. Or he may read a passage and he just closes. He never comes with notes. And you stand in one spot and talk. And when he's talking, he talks about prayer. Prayer is everything. That's all. Just say prayer. We never know how does he make the church grow. And you know, a pastor told me, who had been coming to Korea, he said, look, before you started coming to Korea, Dr. Yonggi Cho was different from how you see him now. Wow. He said, now he's like an old man. He was a very choleric and strong, active person doing many things, very with strength. Wow. Yes. He said, you are seeing a different version of the man. Yes. You wouldn't know. And he's never really spoken about how he died or the actual things. They're not spoken about. So those things are hidden there. It's on the blind side of a proud novice. Yes. You see, novices know they are elevated and overconfident. Confidence, remember, confidence. Check your confidence. When you become too confident, you see that you are walking in pride. It's like, I'm sure. What can we be sure of? When we are praying during the floor prayer meetings and we start talking about the other sins of your father. Look, Jericho, you know, the man said, your son will die when you are laying the foundation and the other son when you are doing the gates. 500 years later, two people died. Everybody thought it was an accident, but it has been spoken and it was a curse that was working. So you what are you so confident about? So I'm clean. As for me, I'm this. As for me, this. No, not too confident. Take your time. Yes. So you've just been appointed as priest to take over from Eli. You have no idea how Eli has survived up to this time. And you just fall flat on your face. And if Eli maybe was to even tell you what to do or even give you some wisdom, you may, yeah, you wouldn't do it. You just, I mean, so that's those are not part of the scriptures. He's an old man. So being a novice is a very dangerous thing because you can just, like Rehoboam, down. What's his name? Eli, sons of Eli, down. Number three. I shall go on or not. Sons of Aaron. My God. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1. Nadab and Abihu. Now Nadab and Abihu took either of them his censer and put fire therein. And put incense thereon. And offered strange fire. Yes. Before the Lord. Which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord. And devoured them. And they died. Before the Lord. Are you watching? And Moses said to Aaron. This is that. Which the Lord spake. Unto me. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Verse 4. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said, come and carry the dead bodies out. So they went near and carried them in their coats. And Moses said to Aaron, change the version, please. Change the version to a modern version, NIV. Moses said to Aaron, don't let your hair become unkempt. Do not tear your clothes or you will die. The Lord will be angry with the whole community. By your relatives, all Israel may mourn for those whom the Lord has destroyed by fire. Verse 7. So he was telling them, don't cry. But leave the entrance because the Lord anointed is on you. And so they did as Moses said. Now look at verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, do you see? Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. And in the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Now, the Bible, look at verse 1. And they offered strange fire, unauthorized fire. Unauthorized fire. So once again, you see two young guys, novices, at offerings, making offerings to the Lord, coming with unauthorized strange things, which are not part, are not acceptable, are not part of what we have. Yes. It doesn't work here. If you are part of this ministry, there are certain things that it doesn't work here. It won't fit in. Amen. And you are part of any ministry. There are things that are strange and out of order. It's strange. It's like, what is this doing here? If I suddenly see a cat here, you know, one day, somebody told me something. I don't want to mention the country. But it was in a country, and then they were doing an operation. There's a surgeon, okay? And whilst they were doing the operation, a goat walked into the theater. Yes, practically. He told me, you see, it's a strange fire, something we are not expecting. In the midst of a operating theater. Yes. And I think the lights went off and then they opened the windows and I think the door and then the goat came in. Yes. Whilst they were doing the operation. And when he said, when I saw the goat, I said, no, no, this is too much. This is beyond. Yes. So, you must know that there are certain things that are not going to work. And in God's house, this strange fire is the reason why the word strange fire is there, is because God is showing us there are some things that are not acceptable. It will not work. And there will always be things that are strange and unusual. In a place where we believe in loyalty, there are certain way of talking will not work. As soon as you say certain things, it's like an abomination. It's like it cannot work here. In places where they honor their fathers, there are certain things that are an abhorrence. There is no way. It just doesn't work. You can't speak that way, even if your father is wrong. It just doesn't work. It's completely strange and out of order. And you must be able to recognize. And these guys, they were new. But you see, new people, you got to watch them. And you got to watch yourself in the ministry. As you see things happening there, the big things that are happening, they are not written about. And the big things that are happening, there are no notes on how to do them. And the big things that are happening, there are no even guidelines. It's true. If you ask me to preach, I'll preach certain things. But there are certain things I will do. Or I will be. But I will not teach. Yes. So, that's it. So, Rehoboam, all these guys, they just come along. It's like, hey, oh, we can do this. Oh, that, you can preach. You just open the Bible, read the verse, you speak. Read the verse, you speak. Read the verse, you speak. It's not like that. It's not like that. So, a novice doesn't know about when you are humble and your eyes are filled with admiration. That's why it actually looks like the lower you are, the wider your eyes are. Because the lower you are, the bigger your eyes become in relation to the person. They open more. That's why Benny Hinn is the one who caught the anointing from the mantle from Catherine Kuhlman. Benny Hinn. Because he was a small boy, Palestinian boy, just nobody, in a church somewhere, and this old man brought him to come and see Catherine Kuhlman. Wide-eyed, open heart, amazed, impressed, seeing everything. He was super impressed. Do you see? And suddenly, you start to see it. But people come, and they even criticize you that all those things you say, I was there, then suddenly she spoke, she said this, and then the power of God, this, we were there, we didn't see all those things. Yes, you will never see it. I've heard him talk about it. He said, but we were there. And when he preaches himself and says that if you can see, like Elijah told Elijah, if you see, Elijah told Elijah, if you see me, he said, if your eyes are open, there are things you catch the anointing. But people are sleeping. Yeah. They start the meeting by, although it's involuntary, it is from the depth of the psychology of your mind that what is coming, I know. So, for instance, I'm very conscious of yawning when I'm preaching. It's one of the greatest signs of familiarity. I don't want to choke. Yeah. It's true. And every pastor should be. It's a revelation. The people are used to whatever. It's not a great thing to them. Yes, it's not a great thing to them. They are used to it. Before I get temporal mandibular dislocation. Strange fire. Strange behavior. Unacceptable things. Things that God doesn't want. Things that are not going to work in the house of God. Things that don't belong here. Strange fires, strange way of talking, strange way of behaving, strange way of speaking, strange way of utterances that we are not compatible with our church and our lives. Yeah. Strange behavior. Number four. Absalom was a novice. He could not stay in power for more than 1 week. When he got into power, Absalom, you know the story, he had 4 years of stealing the hearts of Israel. When he got into power, within a week, he was, you see, to sit on that throne, you don't know what is involved. And he was dealing with the same people that David was dealing with. Yes. As soon as he sat there, he had the wives, the concubines, they were all his. And you see, it may sound strange to you, but I was once in a certain country whose name begins with an N, and the chief or the king told me that he has inherited 21 wives from the king that was there before. They call it, it is a chief, but they call it a king, from the king who was there before, plus his own who were eight. Yes. Yes. 21 plus 8. Yes. And he told me that most of the older wives, they were old ladies, great-grandmothers and grandmothers and so on. Don't get ideas. He was looking after them. All right? So, he came and inherited everything that this David has was sitting on. He couldn't sit for even 1 week. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15. And Absalom and all the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. He had the same advisor. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, "God save the king." And Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your kindness to your friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend?" Why didn't you go with David? And Hushai said unto Absalom, "Nay, whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, if I have served in the presence of the father? So I will be in thy presence." And Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Ahithophel, give counsel, what shall we do?" And Ahithophel said unto him, "Go into your father's concubines, which he has left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. And then shall the hands of all them that be with thee be strong." Going to your father's tent, your father's concubines, servants, wives, it's an abhorrence. So they spread a tent, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel in those days was what? As if a man had inquired of the oracles of God. Read on. Next one. Verse what? What are we? Verse chapter 17. Beautiful. "Moreover, Ahithophel," he asked Ahithophel for advice. "Ahithophel, what shall I do?" Ahithophel said, "Let me choose." Ahithophel said, "I will choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David tonight. Not you, you stay here. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak indeed. And I will make him afraid and the people that are with him. And I will smite the king." I will kill the king specifically. That is an Ahithophel. Wow. Specifically wants to kill the king. "And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all had returned. So all the people shall be in peace." And the same pleased Absalom. Then said Absalom, "Call Hushai the Archite. Let's see what he will say." So Hushai came to Absalom, and he spoke. And Hushai said to Absalom, verse 7, "Ahithophel is not, I don't agree with Ahithophel at all. I don't agree with him at all. No. For Hushai said, you know your father, they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds." Change the version. You know your father, they are fighters. They are fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Meanwhile, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Verse 9. He was afraid of his father. He wanted to fight his father, but he was afraid of him. Even now, he's hidden in a cave or some other place. If you should attack your troops first, whoever hears about it will say there has been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom. If you chase him tonight, that will be the end of you. Verse 10. Then even the bravest soldier, who is like the heart of a lion, will melt with fear. And you notice Husha was using lion, bear, will melt with fear. For all Israel knows that your father is a fighter, and those who are with him are brave. Hey! Yeah. Verse 11. So I advise, let all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous on the sand, be gathered to you, with you yourself leading them into battle. Wow! He Husha was not going to lead them. You see, Ahithophel gave advice that I myself will do it. So somebody who is giving you advice that he himself will not implement. You have to learn, when people bring ideas, you tell them, okay, implement it. They gather them, then we will attack him wherever he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew settles on the ground. Neither he nor any of his men will be left alive. Verse 13. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city and will drag down the city so that there's not even a pebble left where David is. We will take ropes and break down the city. He's a speaker. Verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. Verse 15. So Hushai told Zadok and Abiathar the priest, Ahithophel has advised Absalom and the elders to do such and such, but I've advised them to do so and so. Now send a message at once and tell David, do not spend the night at the forts in the wilderness. Cross over without fail, or the king and all the people will swallow him up. So keep moving. He sent a message to David, keep moving, don't stop. Absalom wants to attack you tomorrow, so keep moving. Orangu for orangu. Orangu for orangu. Extremes with extremes. Hey! Verse 17. Are you watching? Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz were staying, and a female servant was to go with to inform them, and they were to go and tell David, for they could not risk be seen entering the city. Verse 18. But a young man told Absalom. So the two of them left at once to the house of a man in Bahurim. He had a well, and they climbed into it. Verse 19. And he took a covering. Keep going. 20. All right. 21. Verse 23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass. Change the version. He saddled his donkey and set out for his house in his hometown. And he put his house in order and then hanged himself. Yeah. When he saw that his advice was not followed. Verse 24. Yeah. So David went and David crossed. Absalom crossed. All right. So here again, you see the difference between a novice and an experienced man. You see, first of all, a novice doesn't know that words, speeches, somebody who has too many words, too much talking, lot of words, word salads, it's rather a sign of emptiness. Ahithophel was plain. Give me 12,000 men right now. I'll lead myself. Stay here. I'm going to take him on. That's all. This man bear, well, there'll be a rope. We will pull down. A pebble will not be left. A bear will meet him. It will be like this. A lion will come. Speech. You see, what David didn't share with Absalom, which Absalom would never know, is how to listen to advice and whose advice you should listen to. That's what he didn't know. Because every king has got advices. Every president has advices. One of the arts that you need as a leader is, who do you listen to? Who you listen to will determine what you can accomplish and what you can't accomplish. At a certain level, it's about who you listen to. Bottom line. Yes? It's going to be basically who. And he chose. And he had to choose. And he chose the more impressive speaker. And you don't know that. You don't choose impressive speakers. The fact that the man offered that, I myself will go. And I myself would. Ahithophel was so sure. He didn't even need to see the outcome. Just hanged himself. Said, it's over. It's finished. He will never succeed in his fight against David. I don't even need to wait tomorrow to read the news that Absalom has been killed. Yes, I don't need to. I'm going to fight David after he has rested, eating bread. He slept in the night. He woke up and he started to sing psalms. And he's ready to fight. You are joking. You don't know what you are talking about. When he starts to read psalms and sing psalms, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid of? He started singing psalms and chanting, and his spirit has come in the morning. You are going to take him up. Yeah, you are a fool. So you see, a novice is an inexperienced. He's new in the circumstance. He was new in the palace, new in the condition, new in the promotion, new in the ministry, new in the job. A beginner. And he didn't know one of the things. It's not written. Who will you listen to? Whose advice will you follow? You don't know. And you are impressed with words. Look, now when I hear a lot of talking, what does it hold? Even I don't need to know what they are saying. It's too much. I once read an economics book. And they said, he said, they are made economics intentionally created words. Created words to make it look more complicated than it is. He says, simple economic principle is the job you do determines how rich you'll be. It's a basic principle of economics. You don't understand it. The job you do, if you work as a doctor, how do you get? If you sell oranges, what will you get? If you sell pepper, what will you get? What work you do will determine how rich. So it's a country. If the country has orange sellers and pepper sellers, compared with a country which sells iPhones and other things, which one will be richer? The job you do will determine how prosperous you are. So when you say you are selling pepper, selling tomatoes and so on, and you are not a poor country, it's not even high logic. It's not a special economic word you need. You need to know that all the country is full of pepper sellers and tomato sellers, oranges and so on. Compared with people who are making ships and cars and boats and so on, there's no way you can ever compare yourself. That is all. What again, you are creating words, engineering, I mean, equity, this, many things. And in the end, we don't know what you are saying. Oh, please. But you see, Ahithophel, short sentence, give me 12,000 men, tomorrow I'll go, I'll do this for you. That's the difference. And you see, you may be going to get married, somebody will give you advice, but you are new. And you say, this. Say, are you sure? No further questions. Keep going. Keep going. In the ministry, in business, say, this. My father-in-law told me, when I had a business, I was going abroad. He told me, pack the car. Pack what? The car, the truck. It was a big truck. He said, pack, it was working. But as a novice, I said, oh no. I have this. I have people that are honest. I have people that are this. I have people, I have everything. When I traveled and I came back, you know, they never told me anything till I got back. And even when I came back, they didn't tell me anything on the first day. But after 2 days, and they told me, you are owing this. You are owing this. When I was gone, I didn't owe anybody. No, I didn't owe anybody. Yes. But a novice. So if you are a transport owner and you see me, I will also give you the demo. Park your car, take your key and go. Take the keys, remove the battery and go. Yes. But you see, novicius. Novus. Oh, yeah. When we come to those who are not novices, you will see how they speak in this same Bible. And when they speak, you will think they are... You know, when an experienced man is talking, he sounds like a madman at times. Yes. My father-in-law said those words. He said, he sounds like a madman. How to see the difference between people who are around you in your life. And to be able to say, this one is an evil person. This is a good person. This one is good. What he said is very good. When Hushai the Archite came, because he, Absalom, was full of an evil spirit of rebellion, he identified the same rebellion. He thought Hushai was the same. Is that what you are doing to your friend? He asked, Hushai was a friend of David. He said, is that what you are doing to him? He said, then he also, Hushai can speak. Oh. He said, as I've served, should I not serve the son? As I've served the father, I will always serve in the presence of the son. What I've done for whatever is what I will do. Hey! Like everything releases a speech. He should have seen through the talking was too much. Watch out for people who talk too much. Too many words, too many promises. Not a good thing. Novusios. Ruth was a novice. Yes. You know the story of Ruth? Ruth chapter 1. Ruthie 1. Now it came to pass, the name of the woman was Elimelech. Naomi's husband died. She was left with her two sons. You know that, verse 4. They took wives. And the other Ruth. They dwelt about 10 years. And the children died. All right. And she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from Moab. And she went forth out of the place. And her two daughters-in-law, they came. Naomi said to her daughters, go, return to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. The Lord find you rest. Huh? And then she kissed them and lifted her voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee to thy people. Naomi said, turn again. Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? No more sons. 10, my daughters. I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have an husband also tonight. Should I bear sons? Would you tarry for them to be grown? Will you stay for them having husbands? Verse 13. Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Ooh. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Ruth did what? She clave unto her. Change the version. Beautiful. Ruth clung to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. Return. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, not to return from following. I beg you, don't force me to go back. But whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. That is not enough. Verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die. Where I will be buried, where you are, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, if death, only death. The only thing that parts thee and me. Is it amazing? People can speak. Oh. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they went, the two of them, and they came to Bethlehem. And all the city was moved when they said, is this Naomi? Ooh. And she said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, and returned out of the country of the Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. All right. Now Naomi had, chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, a relative of her husband. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, go to the field and gleaned ears. And she went and came and gleaned ears. All right? And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, said to the reapers, "The Lord be with thee, and the Lord bless thee." And that, who is this woman? Who is that? Verse 5. Hey, who is that old lady over there? I don't know her. What's her name? And they said, is this Moabite tragedy? When they went, they died. They know that story. And Boaz said, "Oh, hearest thou not my daughter? Go to glean another field. Go. Abide fast by. Stay with the ladies over there." And then she thanked him. Beautiful. Now, chapter 3 is what we are looking for. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" You see, when you are a novice, you don't know that, first of all, you must be serious about getting married.
Okay.
Otherwise, it won't happen. And that is a great miracle to marry. When you are a novice, you think that you are pretty, so the world is looking for you. No. If somebody gets you, they will take you as a slave. Maybe you don't know that there's trafficking of women. You are your value. When you hear some people talking about women, you realize how valueless they consider you, some people. Yeah. You'll be shocked. You think you are beautiful. If somebody can, you've not watched all the films you've watched, Taken and all those things. What do you think? Rambo 5. Watch it. It's about catching women. Use them and kill them and throw them somewhere. So they even mark them. Now you see that your value is very low. So as you are thinking that your beauty is naturally going to attract men to you as a butterfly, a butterfly is going to come to you, you don't know what is in the world. Naomi, her mother said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? I will seek it that it may be well with thee." You come to church and we ask you, "Do you have a beloved?" So this church, every time you go, is everything marriage? Are you going to be beloved and whatever?
Novice reactions.
These are novice reactions. Novicious reactions. If you like joke with it, you will not get married on this earth. Yeah. If you like play with it and see. Naomi said, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? I will help you. I'll help you. I know what to do." Now, if you like play with it, it will never happen. She was seeing Boaz. Chapter 2, she was meeting Boaz and they were going to the field. He was going to remain as one of the servants there to just take the size of the field as a free this thing for a widow, a tragic story lady. Oh, verse 2. "Now is Boaz not our kindred, whose maidens thou art? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Change the version, because we don't understand winnowest. "He is a relative. Today he'll be winnowing barley." Still, they are saying those words. Verse 3. "Wash thyself therefore." Put on perfume. You see, experience is speaking. You think your smell doesn't matter. You think your smell doesn't matter. An experienced woman is talking. Put on the Bible. Put on your wash. You hear me preach and say, the girls are not bathing. And people will be saying, "What is anyone doing? I'm not bathing." In the Bible, it says wash. Change the version. "Wash yourself. Therefore, wash yourself." Wash yourself. Change the version. Living Bible. "Do as I tell you. Take a bath." Do as I tell you. Amazing. Do as I tell you. This is novicious. She's talking to a novicious. And she's telling her, "Listen, I know what I'm saying. Take a bath. So I'm beautiful just as I am." It's not true. It's not true. It's not. Just as you are, it's not true. You need to bath. You think that men are smelling. And you see, as you keep on not bathing, you develop a body odor. Yes. Before you realize, naturally, there's a smell on you. When you come like that, no, evaporation. The smell is vaporizing. Yes. And you see that to get to a place, no perfume can challenge that smell. No perfume can challenge it. But the perfume will wear off, and you see that the natural design has come. And you are smelling like something negative. Yes. The perfume can make it worse. Yes. Put it back. Do as I tell you. Yes. Put on perfume. Take a bath. Put on perfume. Yes. Dress in your nicest clothes. Change the version, because some people will think that the Living Bible is NIV. NIV. Yeah. Get dressed in your best clothes. Wow. Is it not amazing? Yes. And church is one of the places to wear your nicest clothes. Yes. Even if it's the same dress every week, you just keep coming with the nicest clothes. Somebody will see it one day. Experience is talking on. Experience had a plan. But a person who is newly in town, newly a young lady, newly in life, that's not yet given birth, she doesn't know. But the older one knows. Go down. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Yes. Now, eating and drinking, for the person not to be irritated. The person is irritated and tense because he hasn't eaten and drank. Yes. It is when Isaac ate that he blessed Jacob, not when he fasted. Yes. So wait for him to eat. Give him food. So those of you who have no ability to give food, you are talking about, she was rather coaching her how to please a man for him to like you and even think of you kindly. Christian wives don't need all this. After they've given birth, 1, 2, 3, don't need him to like you, don't need to choose you, don't need him for anything. That's why you can have some of the worst types of wife in the Christian, worst type. You get them. West type. They don't need all this. I mean, you even said, a bishop here. He's a man. That's why he's talking like that. Careful of your mouth, though. It's a strange fire. Careful of your mouth. Those type of comments. Careful of your mouth. Yes. How come now you say I'm a man? When I'm officiating your wedding, you don't call me a man. When I'm preaching now, you say I'm a man. That's why I'm talking like that. When I was officiating your wedding, you said, and so let it be whatever blessings. So amen. You'll be saying amen. Why don't you say I'm a man? So all I'm saying is just parroting. Careful. Now, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Availability. I'll not go deeper in this case. Yes. Ruth was a novice. And her mother. Now listen to what Ruth said. She said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I will do it. I'll do everything you say. All, not some. All. I'll do all the things you are saying. I'll do all. You see, that's how to get a husband. That's how to even be happy. That's how she would have said. She would have said a story as she's dying. She said, "Bury me here, I'm nobody. I came, bury me by my mother-in-law, and that's my life, is bitterness and so on. But by listening to advice and not being too puffed up, go and have your bath. What is bathing? Are you saying, I don't know. What is perfume? You think I was like, what? What is this and that? What is it? Go and lie and behave like this. Go and do it. He should also bath. He should also this. He should also perfume. He's, who is he? Whatever. He's a man. That's why you are preaching. Like, No, you see, I've been preaching for some years. So I know, even if you don't have to skip that response, but I know, because I hear, I know, I feel. Yeah. Are you still around? Yeah. Beautiful. There are so many novices. I have more novices here. But I think I'm going to end here. No more. It's finished. But you see, I want to take you to the people that are not novices. You hear them talking. You see them, they are not talking. You see that, yeah, Charlie. There are people, when they speak, you better listen. Yes. Yes. No, not tonight, but I want you to. Yeah. Now, I want you to see them, how they are. When they speak, you see that. Hey! A person talking is really some way. Yeah. But I tell you, not a novice. 1 Timothy 3:6. Lest he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The same trouble that happened to the devil in heaven. When he fell into a certain condemnation and changed into Satan through pride. So every novice newly arrived in your life's work, and in a sense, many of you may think you are not a novice, but we are novices. Yes. We don't even know. If you are 40 years old, have you ever been 40? You are newly arrived in your 40s. Yes. Newly arrived in your 40s. Yes. Recently entered into that point. Inexperienced in your 40s. Because there are things that happen in the 40s that don't happen in the 30s. Yes. Yes. When as you get older, you will look back and you realize that your teenage years, you will remember a certain type of era. You remember your 20s. Remember your 30s. They are also different. 40s. Different. And then 50s is also another one. So, may God save us and may he grant us grace that we will not descend. And don't forget the condemnation of the devil. It's that same condemnation. Ruth would have amounted to nothing, laid down in the grave as a woman of bitterness. But she laid down the grave as the great-grandmother of David. Hallelujah. Yes. She gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David. Why? Because she would listen. Wow. She would listen to what somebody calls foolishness. What somebody said, oh, don't mind him. Hey! She gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David. Her life ended a different way because she could hear, yeah, what would look like nonsense to somebody. How many times I preach, I look at people and I see these people think that I'm just fooling. They think I'm just joking. This joking and this fooling is what has given rise to one of the largest denominations or several denominations. Yes. It looks funny to you. It looks childish to you. What is this war? What is this song they are doing? Oh. It makes your foolishness huge. It makes your foolishness what? Huge. Yes. It's huge. Huge. Novicious. New in that circumstance. So as God is bringing us to higher things, let us have that humility. No overconfidence. Let your eyes be open to see the things that are not taught and to learn the mysteries and the secrets that these people, God has given them years. Solomon was there for years. No one rose up against him. Even when he sinned, God spared him. He didn't see it whilst he was alive. You've just come. See that your father who could write 3 books, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Songs of Solomon, you have no sense to even glean anything from him for all the plenty things he says. Within 1 week, you've lost everything. And within 5 years, you have lost even the money and the gold. You have scattered the whole thing. Because you wouldn't listen, you wouldn't read and learn some of the most plenty things that he said. He wrote many songs, Solomon, and Proverbs. Learn. You have just become a priest. You know how your father Eli survived. Yes, with these same beautiful girls. Yes, there was no incident. There was no problem. He stayed pure. He was able to stay on the road. You've just come. He didn't write about it. But you came. You have not even matured to middle age. You are falling flat. Because you see, your eye of pride, it forces you to be condemned down. Yeah. Watch out, Nadabs and Abihus. Bringing strange things that are not working, cannot work in our midst. Condemnation of the devil. So Paul said, somebody wants to be a bishop, not a novice. Not a novice. Let him have some experiences. When you are experienced, you speak completely differently from the others. When you are not experienced, you'll be impressed with things that shouldn't impress you. Like Hushai, as he speak with bears, pebbles, lions, big word salads. It's what impressed you. But I know that God is taking you higher and you'll be okay. God, you make it in the ministry. In Jesus' name. Every standing. Father, thank you for the blessing of today. Lift your hands wherever you are in your house. God is giving you wisdom as a boy, as a girl, as a young man, a friend of God. You're going to do better. You're not going to end your life in bitterness and pain. You're going to end your life in the glory cloud. Nothing will be trivialized. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your power, your blessing, your word, your healing, your love. We thank you, dear Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to give your life to Jesus. Give him your life right now. And say this prayer with me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. Have mercy on my soul. Make me a new person. Through the blood of Jesus, I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more.
Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.